Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belleville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in my undisclosed mountain hideaway in the beautiful state of Jefferson region of Southern Oregon. So much to bring you on today's show, and apologize for missing yesterday's show. Gotta take some time off every now and then, and yesterday was just one of those days. But we'll get you all caught up today because there's plenty to talk about in the news. We've got the latest from Orange Cheeto Mussolini, Donald Trump, who's saying, you just can't give everyone due process. What kind of country you think we're running here? Also news on the latest signal gate, Pete Hegseth's time may be numbered at the Department of Defense. Christy Noem, our Department of Handbag Security, we'll talk about that incident as well. RFK Jr. is out there continuing to spew madness about childhood diseases. We'll give you the latest on that, as well as Stephen Miller talking about the lack of due process for the January 6th insurrectionists. Hartford, Connecticut is challenging the separation of church and state, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio is trying to root out anti-Christian bias. We'll give you the update on that. Then some words of wisdom from the first transgender member of Congress, Sarah McBride. I was listening to her on the Pod Save America podcast, and she echoed something I was saying on a previous podcast as well. So we'll bring that to you. We'll also take a look at how the Democrats are currently asking us to stand up and fight against tyranny that they helped create. We'll take a look back at the history of Democratic presidents and their support of tyranny. Then in our regular Boycott Idaho segment, we'll give you an update on the case of Teresa Borenpaul, the woman who was pulled out by brown shirts of a town hall meeting up in Coeur d'Alene. We've got the latest updates there, and a freak accident, or was it really a freak accident, that happened in Nampa, Idaho, that's gained national attention. And then, of course, the most important part about today is my lady love's birthday. My lady love, Lori Duckworth. I'm going to tell you all about her and why I love her so. But before we get to all of that, I want to do something a little less serious, something that was inspired by a user out there on Blue Sky who goes by Technical Appreciator at whatahellofaway2dad.com. You have to just check the links in my Blue Sky likes, but he came up with an idea that I had to expand on. So if you will just indulge me a second, let me grab my bass. I got a little song to sing for you. JD.
Come on, JD, he goes off to Italy. He got too much eyeline. He killed Holy Father. He got so mad, and he'll say why. Zelensky won't say thank you, and he won't wear a tie. Twitter, he break trophy football. He got mocked in Greenland. He fuck custom sofa. He say, I know you make fun of me. One thing I can tell you is you got tyranny all together right now. Blame JD. His Indian buddy hates the immigrant. He got MAGA platform. He won hateful cracker. He wrote book about growing up hick. Grandma said he's straight because he won't suck a dick. All together right now. Blame JD. us the VP. He's no Elon Musk now. He's got third place billing. He won useful standing. He say 1 and 1 and 1 is 3. Can't get rid of Trump, 'cause then the prez will be me all together right now. Blame JD.
The Trump maladministration is in a bit of a panic mode with the late night ruling. 1 in the morning, the ruling came in from the Supreme Court, 7-2, saying, knock it off. Stop these deportations now under the Alien Enemies Act until we can get some due process for these people. The 7-2 decision coming at 1 in the morning before Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas could even get their dissent written. Of course, the dissent from Alito is along the lines of, you didn't allow us to stall long enough to get another plane in the air, is basically what it runs down to. They had another plane full of Venezuelans that are alleged gang members because, you know, they had tattoos and were rounded up, and they just said, grab them. That's pretty much the due process they got to send them off to our torture gulag, CECOT, down there in El Salvador. They were stopped at that with that 1 in the morning ruling. The justices, even Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, don't want to sign on to erasing due process for the United States of America. And this has got the Trump maladministration all in a tizzy. Trump was out on his Truth Toilet tweeting about this. This is what he had to say. Quote, I'm doing what I was elected to do, remove criminals from our country. But the courts don't seem to want me to do that. My team is fantastic, doing an incredible job. However, they are being stymied at every turn by even the U.S. Supreme Court, which I have such great respect for, but which seemingly doesn't want me to send violent criminals and terrorists back to Venezuela or any other country for that matter. People that came here illegally. The courts are intimidated by the radical left who are, quote, playing the ref. Great Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito correctly wants to dissolve the pause on deportations. He is right on this. If we don't get these criminals out of our country, we are not going to have a country any longer. We cannot give everyone a trial because to do so would take, without exaggeration, 200 years. We would need hundreds of thousands of trials for the hundreds of thousands of illegals we are sending out of the country. Such a thing is not possible to do. What a ridiculous situation we are in. Make America great again. We cannot give everyone a trial. The President of the United States publicly stating, we cannot give everyone a trial. Openly calling for the end of due process because we can't give everyone a trial. This is why we broke away from England. If you look at our Declaration of Independence and the original complaints we had against King George, part of those complaints was that he was sending us overseas for fake trials and fake crimes without any process, without any way for us to defend ourselves. If you're rounding up so many people that you don't have enough judges and enough court staff to be able to put them to trial, then you hire more judges and more court staff. You do not just do away with due process. And this argument might ring a little better if we didn't already know you have swept up completely innocent people like Kilmar Abrego Garcia, like Andre Hernandez, the gay hairdresser, like the guy who had the autism awareness tattoos because his brother was autistic, the guy who was swept up, the 19-year-old kid who was swept up just the other day. They weren't looking for him, but they said, oh, grab him anyway. It appears that ICE has been given quotas, and they're just rounding up every brown person they can. We've got people now. I was reading a case here where the guy was rounded up, and he's just disappeared now. He's not on any manifest list for any of these planes that took off. He's not on any of the lists of the people that are currently held in CECOT. They've seen no photos of him on when the planes are disembarking and they take the pictures with their shaved heads, you know, bowed down, traipsing through that prison. Nobody knows where the guy is. He is literally completely disappeared. And people are waking up to this and realizing that without due process, there's no way to prove you're not what they say you are. You've lost Joe Rogan on this, explaining to his bros on the podcast that what's to stop the next president from declaring you a gang member, declaring you a terrorist, sending you out of the country, never to be seen again. The other thing that's happening on the national level, of course, we've got the Signalgate 2.0. Pete Hegseth, the DUI hire for our Secretary of Defense, the former Fox Morning host and terrible axe thrower. Pete Hegseth now coming out on the various shows trying to defend himself for once again sharing secret information on a Signal chat on an unsecured phone, and this time with his wife and his brother. At least the first Signal gate that we had, when he accidentally invited in the Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg, at least that Signal chat had people in the administration on it. You know, the Secretary of State and the Director of National Intelligence, the FBI Director. You can at least say, okay, they shouldn't have been communicating like that, but at least he was communicating with people that had top secret clearance. Not this time. Now he's just sharing war plans with his wife and his brother. Hell, I better check my Signal to see if I've been invited to any of these chats lately. And I love the terminology that keeps coming out of these guys. Warfighter. We're going to turn the defense back to our warfighting stance. We're going to be warfighters again. The Department of Warfighting. We're all about war. You know, the Department of Defense used to be called the Department of War back in the World War II era. And afterwards, we changed that to Department of Defense because we thought it was a bad idea to be so obviously shoveling money toward war. But that's what they want. They want war. They want endless battles to distract from their current pillaging of our U.S. Treasury and treachery of giving out our secret information to Vladimir Putin. And the other story coming out nationally that I had to talk about just a little bit, just briefly, Kristi Noem, the Canicide Kristi, was out having dinner somewhere. I guess it was out in the city in D.C., having dinner somewhere when her handbag was stolen. Yeah, Department of Homeland Security head, Department of Handbag Security, can't even keep track of her handbag. And lost in her handbag was her passport and blank checks and medication. And also noted in her handbag was $3,000 in cash. $3,000 in cash. And people online are asking, gee, why would someone carry around that much cash? And her excuse was that it was Easter and she had to buy presents for her family and go out. You know, apparently these places don't take Visa or MasterCard or Discover or any of those blank checks that she had in her purse. She needed $3,000 cash for something. Well, folks, I have a background on this kind of stuff. You carry around that much cash when you want to make large purchases in secret. It's for buying drugs. It's for money laundering. It's for bribes. It's for paying for hotels with your affair, Corey Lewandowski. There's all sorts of reasons you might carry around $3,000 in cash, and none of them are good. And one other bit of anti-American idiocy I need to get to comes from Stephen Miller, the ghoul who's advising the president on how to kick everyone out of the country who's darker than a paper bag. He wrote on Twitter, quote, "If you were an American falsely accused of wrongdoing on January 6th, it wasn't merely difficult to get due process. It was impossible. The entire system was rigged against you. All of it. These persecuted Americans could only dream of the due process afforded illegal aliens." Wow. talk about up is down, black is white, don't believe your lying eyes. First of all, the process that the January 6th people got included being represented by one of the best public defender's offices in the country. They were more likely to get released pre-trial than the average defendant, especially on the charges they were brought up on. They got comparatively light sentences compared to people with similar charges. The Supreme Court threw out a whole bunch of their convictions, which almost never happens, and they managed to get a presidential pardon. They got gold-plated due process. They got supreme due process. That's exactly what due process is your ability to go to court and be defended. The due process afforded these so-called illegal aliens is ICE saw you with brown skin and a tattoo. That's it. That's the extent of the due process. They don't get a public defender. They don't get their day before a judge. They don't get appeals. They don't get pardons. They're shipped off to CECOT. Our torture gulag in El Salvador, never to be heard from again. If you'd like to extend that sort of due process to all the January 6th insurrectionists, I'd be glad to see it. No, wait, I would not. Even they deserve due process. Next up on our agenda, the latest idiocy spewing from the face of Robert Fuckwit Kennedy, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, who's continuing to try to drag us back to the Middle Ages, and this was his latest idiocy.
And these are a broad category, the ones that Marty mentioned, like ADHD, the neurological disorders, ADD, ADHD, speech delay, language delay, tics, Tourette syndrome, narcolepsy, ASD, and autism. All of these are injuries that I never heard of when I was a kid. They were not part of the nomenclature. They weren't part of the dialogue. There was zero spent in this country treating chronic disease when my uncle was president. Today it's about $1.8 trillion annually. It's bankrupting our nation. 74% of American kids cannot qualify for military service. How are we going to maintain our global leadership with such a sick population? We have all these autoimmune diseases, these exotic diseases. And again, I never heard of juvenile diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Crohn's disease, and 100 others that were just unknown when I was a kid.
Well, goodness, if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. didn't hear about it when he was a kid, it must not have existed. You know, kind of like before 1930, Pluto didn't exist. I'm pretty sure Pluto was still out there flying around the sun even before we had the telescopes necessary to be able to detect it. And just because you didn't hear of something when you were a kid, doesn't mean it didn't exist. The term narcolepsy came around about 1880. And De La Tourette, the scientist who described Tourette syndrome, did so in 1885. Autism was coined in 1911, and diagnoses happened soon after that. So we were well aware of things like Tourette syndrome, narcolepsy, and autism well before you were born. Hell, before your uncle was born, we knew what these things were. This is just sick. And his other statement about I got to get my hit. 75% of kids can't qualify for the military. Yeah, okay. So we have some problems with kids not qualifying for the military. That has to do with obesity. That largely has to do with these guys being too much of a fat body to qualify for the military. And that has a lot to do with the U.S. government subsidizing corn production, which leads to the production of the high fructose corn syrup, which is pumped into damn near everything we eat from bread to ketchup. So yeah, there are some things we should do to make Americans a bit healthier again. You know, like maybe set it up so that poor people aren't living in food deserts, you know, where they have no access to fresh produce. Maybe we could do something with the USDA and our SNAP programs to be able to help people afford healthier food. Maybe we could have some sort of program, I don't know, to encourage kids to eat better and exercise, and maybe to encourage homeowners and people to be able to grow their own little victory gardens at home. Wait, what's that? Hold on. I'm being told we tried that before. There was some woman named, what's this? Obama? Michelle Obama? Yeah, I remember that. Michelle Obama all encouraged us to eat healthier and to get our kids to exercise. And I believe she was called a communist at that time. She was called all sorts of names for trying to get us healthier. But yeah, when the white guy tells us we ought to get healthier, I guess it's time to pay heed, right? Yeah. So once again, we do not have an epidemic of autism or narcolepsy or Tourette's syndrome or ADD or ADHD, these things that RFK never heard of as a kid. What we have now is better understanding. We have more diagnoses of these things. They all existed before. You didn't hear about them before because the kid with the tics, the kid with the weird stims, that kid was kept away from the public. He was shipped off to some sort of institution. Nowadays, we want to welcome these people into society. We want to include them, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which, let's remember, folks, when they keep talking about DEI, they're leaving out a letter, and that letter is A. Able. Getting people whose abilities may lack in certain areas and including them in our society. It is just sick how Robert F. Kennedy is turning Americans away from science, turning us away from the proven, safe, and effective vaccines that have saved so many lives. And it's just sicker that states like Idaho are passing laws to allow freedom to infect others, that is, passing laws to make it so that businesses and government entities and schools can't require vaccines. We've got this anti-health movement in Utah where they ban the fluoridation of water. It's like every crystal-wearing woo-woo freako that's ever talked to you about vaccine skepticism is now in charge of our public health, and we're all going to be sicker for it. The separation of church and state is under attack in Hartford, Connecticut, where their city council voted 7-2 to raise a Christian flag at the city hall. This is the white flag with the blue field that has the red cross in the field. You may have seen this from time to time. The 7-2 vote goes against an ordinance that had already been passed in the city of Hartford forbidding the flying of Christian flags, and it goes back to 2022, a case that eventually made it to the Supreme Court. The city of Boston rejected a man's request to put up a Christian flag. The city was sued over that, and the Supreme Court in 2022 ruled that because Boston allowed outside groups to use one of the flagpoles outside its city hall, they had created an open forum for speech that meant they could not categorically exclude religious flags. So to avoid that problem, to avoid the city hoisting up the flag of one particular religion, the city of Hartford passed an ordinance that says, quote, "The city's flagpoles are not intended to serve as a forum for free expression by the public." It also says that any flags that do go up are official city-endorsed messages from the city council. Now, the pushback on this from the two city councilmen who voted against this pointed out that the ordinance existed. You know, they didn't want to violate that ordinance. But also, should they raise that Christian flag, they open it up for every other religion to ask to have their flag be raised. And when the Church of Satan eventually comes along and wants the satanic flag raised, there'll be a big stink about that. This is the second year in a row that they've done this, and they've dodged lawsuits so far because the fear is that if someone like, you know, Freedom From Religion Foundation or Atheists.org or the Church of Satan or whoever decides to sue over this, that the case might wind its way to this conservative Catholic Supreme Court that might decide, oh, flying a Christian flag, that's no worse than flying a pride flag or the POW/MIA flag. It's just celebrating a particular group. What's wrong with that? So they've avoided the lawsuits for fear that this would set precedent to allow every city and every state to start erecting Christian flags on government property. Now, let me explain to you why this is not like putting up the pride flag. Because being gay is something you're born into. Being Christian is something you choose. There is a difference here. And we do have that pesky First Amendment that says government shall not endorse nor prohibit the expression of religion. Keep your religion off of our city flagpoles. It's so hard for Christian people to understand this. I understand they see the pride flag and they say, well, that's your belief that gay people are okay. Why can't we have our Christian flag up there? Because we have a separation of church and state. Because we don't want to have the government being seen as endorsing any particular religion. I, of course, would take that farther and say government shouldn't be endorsing any sort of God either. We should take In God We Trust off of our money, for example. But so far, the way the courts have interpreted this is that secular mentions of God in a generic way are okay. But raising the Christian flag with a cross on it is definitely not a generic invocation of a secular understanding of God. This is direct endorsement of the Christian religion. And like I said, when you're a Christian, you don't notice this, just like a fish don't know it's wet. Because you're in that religion, you're in that culture, you don't get it. But I can tell you, as a kid who grew up atheist, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure when all the kids around you are praying. You don't want to stand out and be ostracized for not bowing your head. Like the football coach in Washington State, who the Supreme Court gave the green light to lead prayers on the football field with his team. What do you think the atheist left tackle is going to do? He's going to bow his head. He's not going to want to stand out. What do you think the Jewish cornerback is going to do? He's going to bow his head, even though the Christian prayer is being said. Let's keep religion out of our government, out of our schools. Enjoy your right to religion. Be free in expressing yourself, but don't hold it over others in a forum where they have no choice but to participate, like school, like government. The other part of this Christian nationalism that's gotten me worried is the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who I will never forget to remind you, was approved 99-0 by the Senate. Every single Democrat approved of Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, who is now going through and asking the members of the military and government to send in tips to the VA. This is a VA directive to root out anti-Christian bias in the military. Anti-Christian bias in the military. Would this be the same military where when I was in basic training as an atheist, my choices on Sunday were to A, go to a religious service, or B, spend the morning policing cigarette butts from the sergeant major's lawn? Yeah, there's your anti-Christian bias. I really quickly found God when I was in basic training and went to religious services every Sunday just to get out of picking up cigarette butts from the sergeant major's lawn. And yes, I am old enough that when I was in basic training, soldiers could still smoke. as you know, I am a hobbyist podcaster, which means that in order to make a living, I do gig work. I do all of the driver apps and delivery apps. And while I'm out driving, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And so I was listening to Pod Save America the other day when their guest was Sarah McBride. She is the representative from Maryland, who is also the first openly transgender member of the United States Congress. And with that, she has some pretty unique perspective on things in politics. And she had one thing to say that I thought was incredibly, incredibly insightful. And it kind of dials back to something I was saying on the podcast the other day about Democrats being the mommy party and Republicans being the daddy party. She was talking to the Pod Save Bros about the double standard in politics and how Donald Trump is allowed to get away with things that other presidents wouldn't be allowed to get away with. And this goes back even before Trump. We used to have the acronym, "It's okay if you're a Republican," where we'd always hashtag things. "It's okay if you're a Republican," where if a Democrat did such a thing, oh, there'd be wailing and gnashing of teeth and rending of garments, right? The old meme of, like, can you imagine if Obama did this, right? So Sarah McBride was addressing that double standard in politics between Republicans and Democrats. And this is what she had to say. And I'll just give you the quote. "There are two different standards for the parties. And those two different standards make a lot more sense when you recognize that they're just the replication of sexism and misogyny. The Democratic Party is the woman of politics, and the Republican Party is the man of politics. It's why Donald Trump can scream and yell, and people see him as strong, and why when we scream and yell, we're seen as hysterical and shrill. It's why Donald Trump can hate and insult more than half of this country because we tolerate deadbeat dads. But Democrats can't say anything about voters that impugns their motives and their good faith because a mom has to love every single one of her children." End quote. I have never heard it put better. I've often said, you know, Democrats are mommy party, Republicans are daddy party, but adding the whole misogyny sexism thing to it is just perfect analysis. It is exactly the right. The Democratic Party is treated like how we treat women in this society. Can't laugh, or is she too shrill? You can't be too aggressive, you're a bitch. It's so perfect. I don't know what we do with this information. I don't know that there's anything to do to try to make the Democratic Party more masculine or the Republican Party more feminine. I don't know how we get past that. It's interesting to note that the two times that we've run women to head the Democratic Party, we've lost to the worst man possible. Is this level of sexism and misogyny something that can be overcome? Or when we run Democrats, do we need to stick to running men? I don't know. I wouldn't say so. I think any qualified woman would be a great president. Hillary would have been a great president. Kamala Harris would have been a great president. But it does kind of illustrate a concern that we ought to think about. I've often bet that the first woman president in the United States would be a Republican, and maybe for that reason. Democrats are beginning to wake up to the tyranny that is being foisted upon this country by the Trump maladministration, and they're exhorting us to get out into the streets and stand up against the tyranny that's taking place in America. And I'll tell you, we're ready to do that as Americans, but it's kind of difficult. And part of what makes it difficult is we're facing off against an extremely militarized local police force every time we do. And I want to talk a little bit about how the Democrats help put us in this situation of having to fight an incredibly militarized, tyrannical, local and state police force. It goes all the way back to the 1900s, so all the way back to the previous century, back during the George H.W. Bush administration, and something called the National Defense Authorization Act. And back in the fiscal year 1991, Congress authorized the transfer of excess Department of Defense property, military property, to federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. Later, in 1997, this was made permanent. Law enforcement agencies are allowed to acquire counter-drug and counter-terrorism equipment, military equipment, from the DOD. This program has been called the 1033 program, which refers to the numbered section of the 1997 National Defense Authorization Act that granted permanent authority to the Secretary of Defense to transfer defense material to federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. As of February 2025, there are 6,300 federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies from 49 states and 4 U.S. territories participating in the 1033 program. So this is where your local county sheriff has a mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle, armored personnel carriers, missile launchers, all this massive equipment supposedly to fight terrorism and counter drug activities. And this NDAA 1033 program has been funding and fueling this massive militarization of our police. And it continues to be supported. It continued through the George Bush administration. It continued through the Barack Obama administration. It wasn't until the Joe Biden administration that they even put forth a bill, the Demilitarized Local Law Enforcement Act of 2021. This was put forth to the House Armed Services Committee, where it died. In a House of Representatives at the time that was controlled by the Democratic Party, and a Congress that was controlled by the Democratic Party, and a White House that was controlled by the Democratic Party. We didn't even get a hearing on ending the 1033 program that is militarizing our local police forces. Let's also not forget the part of what brought us to this lawlessness, this tyranny, was the decision in Bush v. Gore, where the conservative Supreme Court halted the recount in a conservative state that was run by the conservative candidate's brother. And the reason for halting the recount was because he was ahead, and if we continued counting, he would lose, and that would injure him. That would damage his win if he were found to have actually not had the most votes. And Al Gore and the Democratic Party threw up their hands and shrugged and said, well, what are you going to do? That's the Supreme Court. They just decided to stop counting the legal votes of people in one of the states that's controlled by the brother of the guy they said won. Gee, I guess there's nothing we can do. We couldn't take to the streets and protest, or we couldn't ask for any sort of relief for this. There's nothing we can do. We just have to accept it. That set the tone that we didn't right then recognize the Republicans usurping the vote of the people. That was when the tyranny began, was Bush v. Gore. And the tyranny continued with the shipping of prisoners down to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, our original hellhole prison, to keep them off of U.S. soil, to make it easier to keep them without charges, without access to attorneys. Some of these people are still there in Gitmo. But in 2007, there was a presidential candidate who campaigned on closing Guantanamo Bay. If only we had given that guy a plus 7% popular vote mandate and plus 57 votes in the House of Representatives and a filibuster-proof Senate for 187 days, maybe he could have followed through on that promise to close Gitmo. So yes, the Republicans today are much to blame for bringing us into this era of lawlessness and disregard for the rule of law and due process, and the establishment of concentration camps in El Salvador. But let's not forget, Democrats had lots of opportunities, in the past 25 years to ratchet back the 1033 program, to demilitarize our police, to close Guantanamo Bay and end this precedent of offshore prisons. Let's make sure that if we return the Democrats to power in 2026 in the Congress and 2028 in the White House, that they do not forget their role in leading to this tyranny, and we hold them to account in reversing the 1033 program and closing CECOT and Gitmo. Time for our regular Boycott Idaho segment, where I remind you to avoid the handmade state, and in particular, boycott the Idaho potato. No red state is more singularly associated with one product than Idaho and the potato. Let's send a message to these regressive red states that we blue states will no longer subsidize their abuse of American citizens. Boycott Idaho, avoid the handmade state. We got another update from the case of Teresa Borenpaul. She was the person who was at the town hall meeting in Coeur d'Alene, Republican town hall, where she was grabbed and removed by unmarked security guards and taken from the event. We told you on Monday how those six men who were involved in abducting her have now been charged with battery and false imprisonment charges, as well as security guard uniform violations. Well, now we get the latest news coming out of the state of Idaho, where Teresa Borenpaul is suing the county sheriff and that private security firm a $5 million civil suit to hold them accountable. I'm glad to hear about this, and I'm especially glad the suit's going out against the private security firm. My problem with the suit against the sheriff is that whenever we sue these government entities, it's the government, meaning the taxpayers, who end up on the hook for this thing. And I believe she should win the suit. Of course, she should get her damages. My problem is that the damages ought to be paid by the sheriff himself, not the sheriff's department. I hate it when these cops are caught doing something terrible and get sued for their abuse, and then it's the city that has to pay out, or the county that has to pay out, or the state that has to pay out. So in a sense, it's the taxpayers that get dinged for this. And in response, we don't have any sort of follow-up on these cops that get sued. There's no sort of national database to show how many civil suits a particular cop has been a part of. These cops become too much trouble for their particular department. They just resign from that department and move somewhere else. It's like the Catholic Church shuffling pedophile priests around. The same thing happens with cops shuffling these abusive cops around. So I hope Teresa Borenpaul wins this lawsuit, but I hate that the Kootenai County taxpayers might be on the hook for it. The other thing I wanted to address real quick, there was a national story made it to People magazine talking about a Nampa man who suffered third-degree burns and is in critical condition in the hospital because of a freak accident. So I'm like, oh my gosh, an Idaho story, freak accident. Let's find out what happened. So I look up the story, and it turns out this guy was having like a backyard campfire kind of thing, and the fire was going out, so he decided to get a gas can and from a gas can pour gas on the fire. So, folks, it's a lot of things. It's a tragic mistake, maybe. But it's not a freak accident. There's nothing accidental about a gas can blowing up when you put it too close to fire. I feel bad for the guy. I hope he recovers. My complaint here is with the media characterizing this as a freak accident. Today in the Radical Rant, I have to celebrate this very special day, for it is the 60th birthday of my lady love, Lori Duckworth. Let me just tell you a little bit about this woman, because I have so much admiration for her. I first met her back in 2007. I was involved with Oregon Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. I was the second in command at the time. So we would go throughout the state lobbying our legislators and speaking to people about the need to improve what was then the only legal marijuana in Oregon, Oregon's medical marijuana program. And I happened to meet this young lady who is the head of Southern Oregon Normal out of Medford, Oregon. And her name was Lori Duckworth. And she and her husband were running the Southern Oregon Normal chapter, which was providing a medical marijuana dispensary back in the days before there were medical marijuana dispensaries. So it was sort of a quasi-legal setup. Under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, you are allowed to reimburse your grower for the expenses and supplies necessary for growing cannabis. And under that loophole, she and her now ex-husband were running the Southern Oregon Normal chapter and getting plants and medicine out to registered medical marijuana cardholders. And she wasn't doing this in secret. Her Southern Oregon Normal offices and library and supply, the dispensary, were housed right next door to the FBI's offices, the Federal Bureau of Investigation offices in Medford, Oregon. So the feds were well aware of what she was up to. She would speak to them on a daily basis, and they had no problem with what was going on. And she was very open with the county sheriff and the local news media. She would often bring in legislators into her Southern Oregon Normal dispensary to show them how a legitimate medical marijuana dispensary could work. Many of these legislators went on to craft the law that eventually made medical marijuana dispensaries legal in the state of Oregon. But Lori ran into some difficulty. Lori, in addition to being a medical marijuana cardholder, is also an ardent supporter of the Second Amendment. And as such, she has had a concealed handgun license. Well, came time to renew her concealed handgun license, and there were some other people in the same boat as her trying to renew their concealed handgun licenses when the Jackson County Sheriff, Mike Winters, refused to renew their handgun licenses. And the sheriff's reasoning was that the Gun Control Act of 1968 forbids anyone who is a known abuser of controlled substances from possessing a gun. So under his reasoning, you've got a medical marijuana card. That means you are an abuser of Scheduled I controlled substances. Therefore, you can't have a gun. And if you can't have a gun, you can't have a concealed handgun license. Well, this made Lori and other people in the same boat quite angry, and they filed lawsuit against the county sheriff. The lead plaintiff in the case was a woman named Cynthia Willis, and Lori was also signed on to that case as well. Co-complainants, I guess. And the case Willis v. Winters went through the Oregon courts. Eventually made it to the Oregon Supreme Court, where they ruled in favor of Willis and other medical marijuana cardholders having the right to get their concealed handgun license. A very interesting decision where the justices determined that getting your medical marijuana card is merely an administrative act. You're just applying for some sort of card. Having a medical marijuana card or applying for it in no way proves that you are in possession of marijuana, and in no way proves you're an active consumer of marijuana. I know, it sounds a little silly, right? Of course, someone who has a medical marijuana card is someone who smokes pot. But not under the law. The mere acquisition of a medical marijuana card does not acquire for you any marijuana, nor does it force you to use any. So strictly speaking, getting a medical marijuana card is only getting a medical marijuana card. And Getting a concealed handgun license, similarly, does not mean you own a gun, does not mean you're possessing a gun, does not mean you're trying to conceal a gun on your person. So, the act of getting one card, a medical marijuana card, does not preclude you from getting another card, a concealed handgun license. Now, that made the sheriff very angry. Very angry that he was rebuked by the Oregon Supreme Court by some women who had sued him. He appealed it to the United States Supreme Court, and the United States Supreme Court refused to hear the case, which left the Oregon Supreme Court's stand valid. So, in the state of Oregon, medical marijuana card holders can be concealed handgun license holders. Well, Sheriff Winters wasn't too happy about that. And he was a part later on in a move called Operation Storefront that surveilled Lori's Southern Oregon Normal dispensary, as well as two other dispensaries, one in Eastern Oregon in Ontario, and another one in Northern Oregon in Portland. These three dispensaries were then all raided, and Lori and her husband faced 29 felony charges. 29 felony charges for growing and possessing medical marijuana as medical marijuana card holders. They were legally entitled to do so. Distributing medical marijuana to other medical marijuana card holders, which under the law, medical marijuana card holders can give their medicine to others. And being reimbursed for this, which under the Oregon medical marijuana law, you can be reimbursed for the supplies and materials. In facing these 29 felony charges, she spent 8 days in jail. Her house was raided. Her Southern Oregon Normal offices were raided. And as cops do when they go in these raids, they're not too gentle, so they end up breaking a whole bunch of stuff, taking her money, taking her guns, taking her ammo. Eventually, she was able to get this pleaded down to one charge, which was distributing medical marijuana to medical marijuana card holders. Again, a charge of something that was perfectly legal to do. And since all of that, the 8 days in jail, spent a lot of time getting her record expunged to the point where now she has no record whatsoever. And I tell you this story just to tell you what an amazing woman she is. How she stands up for people's rights, how she helps the sick, helps the needy, and fears no man in doing so. I'm so lucky to be with her. Like I said, we met around 2007. We didn't become romantic until 2016 after I was divorced and she was separated. And we've been together ever since. So happy 60th birthday, my love. Thank you for being my hero. And I hope to be around for the next 10, 20, 30 years worth of birthdays. I love you, baby. And it goes down smooth. Hey! Well, folks, that's all the time I've got this morning for the podcast. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons Share-alike licensing. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by freestockmusic.com and by VTEMO, courtesy of freetouse.com/music. And thanks to Lennon and McCartney for my little parody bassline music for today. Please don't sue me. You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalrus.com and nowhere else. And for your post-credit scene, a little bit for our Fat Leopard files. This comes from Camden Domville, who is tweeting to Donald Trump the following, quote, I voted for you, and I still support you, but my wife came here legally through teacher exchange program. We got married, and right after we tried to get a lawyer for her to become a citizen, she got an email today saying she might lose her job. I understand you're trying to make America great again, which is awesome, But her losing her job and getting sent back, when I'm trying to make her a citizen after marriage, $10,000 for the paperwork? Please don't punish people that are trying to come here legally. I voted for you and think you're a great man, but I'm getting affected. If you could not send my wife back to her country, she was trying to do the right thing. I respect you, but we barely got a notice. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just don't want my wife to go back. Oh, the leopards are fat today. I never thought the leopards would eat my face, says the man who voted for the leopard eating face party. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at RadicalRuss.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.